Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour, our program that takes a dive into the believer's daily life and challenges and helps them to learn their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and today I am joined with another special guest. Last week, we had a Bible college student. Today, we're still in 2023. Today, we have the managing director of Greater Grace International School, Pastor Brian Lange, joining us today. Hello, Pastor Brian.
Greetings.
Welcome
Great
to the
be
show.
Here. Thanks for the opportunity to be
Thank
here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We sincerely appreciate it. Today, we're going to be talking about what it means to stay prepared to go on the mission field. The whole week, we're talking about missions and the mission field. So today, we're going to hone in on what it means to stay prepared to go on the mission field, what that looks like while you're at a home base or your local church. And to get things started, I'm going to go ahead and turn here and ask Pastor Brian a few questions. The biggest question I think that would give us a great snapshot of what we're talking about today is, how did you end up going to the mission field, and when did you end up going to the mission field for the first time?
Yeah, it's a great question. So from the moment we got, we really began to follow the Lord, you know, we had a thirst to know the scripture. We were part of a local assembly. I did bus ministry at our local church. I mean, teen ministry or you know, kids ministry, and went on outreaches and went over to Lenox. Then it was Lenox. This was in the early '80s, so probably most of the people who are listening weren't even born. but anyway, in the early '80s, and yeah, we would go over to the Bible college, and I saw a life there that was amazing, you know, like it is here, you know, yeah. Bible college and lots of, you know, really a huge amount of purpose in life. You know, what am I getting up in the morning for? Mm-hmm. And it seemed like that life was just so full. So the Lord first led us to Bible college, you
okay.
know?
Okay, yeah.
And I mean, we were already doing missions, but I didn't really know it. We were just in a local church with Pastor David Moore. And if yeah. you know Pastor David Moore, he is like evangelizes every person he sees through some creative way of doing that.
Cool. Awesome.
So I was in his church. You know, yeah. Not everybody has a pastor like that. So mm-hmm. not everybody is immediately because they're in the church that they're exposed to missions, you know, to the person next door to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were in Bible college. I went there with one child. We reproduced twice while there.
Okay.
So in 1986, it's when the camp, you know, the Bible Speaks had its transition.
Uh-huh.
Ended up moving here.
It's a good way to put it.
And yeah. I was in Burn Hills, which is where David Moore's church was at the time. Now it's in Malta. And Louis DeMeo, who was the pastor in France, came to our local church, you know, and he showed a little, at that time it was called a slideshow, you know, like,
yep.
So he did a slideshow of the French mission field, and my wife and I both speak French,
because
in high school we learned it, you know, it was our... Before we were saved, French was like our language, our groupie language.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were very good. We were the best French speakers in our high school.
Wow.
Complete derelicts, but we loved French, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he came, and I don't know, it was just like I said, Paula, let's go there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
maybe God would call us there, you know, maybe this, you know. So we did a short missions trip.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Labar and Teresa were just married.
Yeah.
Teresa Labar and Terry, who later came to Hungary also. They were teammates in Hungary. And so they were going on their honeymoon, so their apartment was free. So, so we said, let's go, you know,
nice.
So we went just the two of us. We had children that were 6, 4, and 2 at the time. Actually,
wow.
5, 3, and 1 at that time.
Wow.
We checked it out, and it just seemed like wow, maybe God would call us here, you know. So we went back. We saved up some money. We were both working and kind of saved up enough money to live in France for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know. And So we just went for it. You know, we went to France, yeah, with our three children.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple things I hear there as you're speaking. Maybe the first thing I heard, after you were recently saved, having the example in your life of a pastor who does evangelize. There are many churches out there who don't have anything to do with evangelism. It's just not part of their mindset or what they talk about when they preach and teach the Bible. But it's in our Bibles, and it's like a great thing to talk about. There's many verses on it. One of them I have from the book of Proverbs is chapter 11, verse 30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise." So you had a wise man leading you right from the get-go. And by having someone in your life that is setting the example and leading the way with his actions, not just his words, that can have a huge difference in a person's life as to whether or not they're motivated to even look at the mission field in that way. Now, maybe one question we have, and they talked about this yesterday, Pastor Justin and Pastor Dennis on our show yesterday, that I think it would be good for us to just kind of mention today is, Pastor Brian, what do you think the mission field is? Because I heard you say something, and to me it stuck out really well about our neighbors, and I just wanted to hear more on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the simple definition of the mission field is whoever I'm with.
Nice.
In a sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, can I share the love of Christ with whoever I'm with in whatever way that is? And mm-hmm. it isn't always directly give them the gospel, but
right.
But still, that's our mindset. I think, you know, that's so, yeah. So it means my neighbors, my work. I mean, a workplace is a mission field.
Mm-hmm.
A neighborhood is a mission field.
Yep.
You know, the place that I live is a mission field, and of course we have this idea that missions is cross cultural, which there's a lot to be said for cross cultural missions.
Sure.
You know, that those who are like fervent for Christ, looking into places where people are not and saying, you know, they need the gospel and I'd like to take it to them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be said for that. But in a general sense, I believe that God has called all of us to care for the person that we're with and to love them with the love of Christ and for those to care about their souls. And to be one of those that maybe is a sower,
yeah.
Maybe a waterer,
sure.
You know,
maybe a reaper. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know.
Right,
we don't know.
I find it interesting in the book of Ephesians, whenever Paul is laying out the different calls that people have in ministry, it says in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. A word that you don't see there is and some missionaries. That always sticks out to me when I think about the idea of a missionary, because I believe it can happen when you're around people. You don't have to have a specific gift set or a specific calling. You can look through the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, and you don't have to like focus on any one of those to say, hey, what does it take for you to talk to your neighbor? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says about his congregation, like, you guys are an epistle yourselves. You guys are an epistle written on our hearts. Like, our lives speak to people, whether it's family members who are unsaved or saved, whether it's neighbors who are unsaved or saved. The way we live our lives, the way we interact with them, the way we talk to them, whether or not we directly share the gospel, we're ministering Christ's life to them just through our own lives because we have him inside of us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Being a missionary is very much... Pastor Barry has always said this. I used to work for Pastor Barry over at GGCA, and he used to say, being a missionary is much more about the state of your heart than it is about the location of your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So we have this working definition of the mission field. It's wherever there are people. It says in the Bible that, you know, the fields are white, like ready for the harvest. It doesn't indicate a specific place. It says the fields everywhere. Like, you look around, yeah. People are ready to learn about who Christ is and what he's done for them. So we have that working definition. Maybe we can jump right to our first question for the broadcast today. And the question is this: how can I cultivate a mission-focused lifestyle while I'm still at my home church? So maybe you are a new believer. maybe you don't have much teaching so far. Maybe you don't know much of your Bible, but you have this desire in your heart to talk to people about Jesus, to evangelize, to be a missionary. How do you cultivate that and that sort of lifestyle while you're learning and growing in your home church? What do you think?
Well, first, I think that what you said about have an example like that your church culture is a culture of missions, caring for people, and that has both sides, in reach and outreach.
Yep.
You know, we edify the saved, and we edify the saved, and we evangelize the unsaved. Right.
Yep.
So
nice.
Those are the two. That's the church. That's what the church does. And everybody has a different place in that. You know, some people are very much involved in the reaching the lost, and others are very much involved in caring for the saved.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they're in the church, honestly, once they're in the church, most people come into the church and they're not okay. You know, they're messed up.
Yes.
Messed up in many ways.
Sure,
just,
we all are. Yeah,
yeah, we all are. I always like to say that, you know, when we think about, well, some people are mentally ill and some people are not. You know, I would say no. That's there's only one person who is completely sane, and that was Jesus.
Right.
Everyone else, it's only degrees of insanity that we're working with. Some people are, functioning.
Yeah,
functioning.
that's a really great point.
And others are, you know, having a more difficult time functioning. But okay, so anyway, to answer the question, the local church is so important. I don't know who's listening to this broadcast, you know, but.
Yeah.
But if you're the only person in your church that wants to win the lost, you got to be thinking about, are you in the right church?
Because mm-hmm.
probably if you would press your pastor,
mm-hmm.
he'd probably get upset at you.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. People go to YWAM, you know, Youth with a Mission, mm-hmm. You know, the other kind of parachurch organizations that are doing outreach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Campus Crusade, and you know,
yeah, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Young Life,
yeah,
different places
yeah.
like that, yeah.
So, you know, they get involved, and then they go into their local churches, and they say, "Hey, I'm so excited about the Lord and about reaching out," and they get like, "What are you judging us? You know, you're a fault finder or something." So, if you find yourself that like you're that person, then you got to be thinking about, maybe you're there because God would like to use you. You know, and you could talk to your pastor or something and say, "Hey, I'd like to do outreach. Is anybody interested?"
Mm-hmm.
But if you get pushback, then maybe you got to go somewhere else. You know,
yeah.
because it's a huge thing to have a church that is interested in missions, which is just simply caring for the person next to you in an evangelical or an edifying way. You know,
yeah,
And then because that church can build you up, that church can lead you, that mm-hmm. church can give you opportunities, that church can also send you out.
Yeah,
that you're not going alone. That mm-hmm. you know, it's not all about, it's not all on you. You know, so so I think that's one aspect is, you know, because the question is, how do you maintain or cultivate a missions focused lifestyle while you're still at your home church?
Yeah.
You know, and if your home church is doing missions, then just be in your home church and be involved in it.
Yeah.
If your church is a New Testament definition of church,
mm-hmm.
then be involved in either the evangelism or the edification,
because
it all works together.
You know?
And some people are very much edification people.
Mm-hmm.
They're bodybuilding people.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, and others are much more involved in pioneering and that sort of thing, you know. And so it's really be in a church that's doing it, and then just be involved.
Yeah.
You know, just be involved in some way. And I think it's more of a consciousness than it is maybe necessarily an activity.
Mm-hmm.
Like God can lead you in your gifts, in your calling.
Mm-hmm.
A need doesn't justify a call. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with this is what's needed, and I'm better than nothing, you know?
So, yeah. Cast your bread on many
like
waters.
I could go
like
get involved, and who knows what will happen.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we're in a local church where those opportunities are available to us. So it's not all about...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the I'm the first guy to get saved on the planet, and I got to come up with this all, you know, it's me and Jesus,
right.
You know?
Yeah. But, yeah, you have an Isaiah 6 moment, and you think that you're the only one who can answer God at that moment. Okay. I mean, yeah, God does call us specifically and individually and separate from everyone else, but it's not all on us. It even says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you referenced it earlier, like whether you're planting, watering, or reaping, like ultimately God is the one who gets the increase. God gives the increase.
He's
the
it.
One doing the work.
Yeah.
We're just different cogs in the wheel that we are blessed to be able to take part in it. I really love what you said and just the way you framed inreach and outreach, because they're a collective whole of what the church does. So whether you are building up the saints who are in the church, what does Jesus say? He says that you don't go to the doctor when you're feeling well. Like, you go to the doctor when you're not feeling well, right? The same way, the people who go to church are those who need, like, to be mentally and spiritually healed. Like, the church is a place for all of us to come and be built up. We all need it in some sense. So we have an inreach department. We have a Bible college. We have a Christian school. We have different programs supplying needs to different people at different levels of their walk with God. Not levels. I hate using that word when talking about your walk with God. But all of it working together. Because if you don't build people up, who's going to want to go to begin with? If you don't talk to them about their position, identity, and purpose in Christ, who's ever going to learn that Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save the lost," in Luke 19?
Yeah.
So that's extremely important. Some other things that you said, like just be involved. I think it's really maybe a really practical tip could be, like, do you give to missions? Do you give to missions? If you are interested in missions and you yourself cannot go, maybe you're like creating your own fund to set aside to be able to go in the future. But if you have a heart for it, look at the people who are doing it. Look at the people who are out there doing the work. You can give to them. Like, you can send your heart with them by giving them the resources that they need to continue. Serving, giving, prayer. Prayer is a huge thing.
Yeah,
prayer is a huge precursor to anything you do in your walk with God. It says in Matthew 5 or 6, I think it's 5, like if you pray in secret, like you're talking to God about the mission field, you go into your closet, you shut the door, and you go in there alone. It says you do this thing in secret, God will bless you openly, and it's like wow, like I'm gonna go on the mission field because like I'm praying about it, and God sees it, hears it, and He's gonna send me.
Yeah.
He's gonna call me. I'm gonna have that Isaiah 6 moment, and I'm gonna go. So there's so much. There's so much to it. There's so much you can do in the local church. What do you think of this? I was reading this earlier. James chapter 4 talks about your life being just a vapor, and it says, don't make plans for this tomorrow or this thing next year. We're gonna go into this city or that thing, but the writer says, but if God wills. Like, if God wills.
Yeah, we'll be alive tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, boast not yourself of tomorrow, Proverbs 27, verse 1. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Like, focus on today. How does that play into the whole mindset of the mission field?
Yeah, so I did prepare a little something here.
Cool. Okay, awesome.
So I think about, it's one of the factors when you think about, why would I want to care about the people that are around me,
mm-hmm.
you know, why do I care about them?
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't I just care about my own things?
Sure.
I have a job. I want to, you know, work on my career. Mm-hmm. I have a little collection of cars. I just bought a log splitter. You know, I'm planning an addition on my house.
Yep.
You know, we have some issues with our family. Where, you know, why would I look out beyond what my life is
mm-hmm.
to a group of people that I don't even know, mm-hmm. complete strangers, you know, like what would cause me to do that? And I think that there are three very clear reasons. One is that I don't want that life is short, like you just said, James 4:12-13, that mm-hmm. life is short. It's a vapor.
Yep.
And if you don't believe it when you're young, like Jehu, when you're young, it's hard to believe that life is short.
That's very true.
From what perspective do you know that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Except Jesus is telling us that. I mean, the scripture tells us over and over. Mm-hmm. It's short. It's like a blade of grass. It's like fog in the morning. You know, I mean, we're talking about like very temporary kind of thing. That's human life. Okay. If that is true, I mean, it is true, so don't waste it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like you can burn decades doing something completely stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, decades of your life, and then you get popped out at the other end, 50 years old or older.
Yeah.
And you say, what did I, that was my life? So I'm here to say, your life starts now and it's short. And if you think you got a long life ahead of you, you are wrong.
Yeah.
You're just dead wrong. And I'm not saying you're going to die soon.
Right.
You could live until you're 80 and it's a short life. If you're 21 today, it's a short life. Okay. The second thing is that, that everyone, well, but Paul also said that, that time is short.
Yeah.
That,
right.
You know, the most motivating part of Jesus's post-resurrection life is that I'm coming back soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this world that we live in is not, this is not the final story.
The end all be all. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, so life is short and time is short.
Okay.
And not only for me, but for the guy who's sitting next to me.
Right.
You know, like his life is short and his time is short. He's going to be judged by God, you know.
Wow.
In one of those two occasions, they both end the same.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be standing before God and being judged, you know, and believers will get rewards and unbelievers will get just due recompense for their unbelief, for their corruption, for their selfishness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then the third thing is love.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
Jesus is the greatest missionary who ever lived, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who actually said to Adam, where are you? Some think it was him, you know.
Very possible.
But he's been a missionary from day one of our day one, not his.
Right.
Because he had no day one.
No day one.
But our day one, he's been a missionary coming after us. And then God the Father, because of love for us, sent God the Son to literally to be a missionary.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to go burn your life because of all the people that need salvation. So those three things are huge factors in that propel mission mindedness.
Sure.
You know, if we would just consider that our lives are short and you don't want to burn your life without purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of purpose can you get out of building anything except the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an eternal body, you know.
Yeah.
And then time is short, that Christ is coming back, and we see the signs of those times more and more. And then third is that that God so loved the world, he sent his Son as a missionary, and God still loves the world.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus now sends us.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a complete life. That's a completely full, you know, just purposeful, amazing life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think there are studies done. Like if you live to be, you know, 75, 80 years old, you sleep for 25 to 30 of those years, you know, in whole.
Yeah.
25 to 30 of the years of your life that you're on this earth, you're sleeping. So subtract that right away from however old you end up being. Okay. And then think about all the times you visit the refrigerator, all the times you visit the restrooms, all the times you sit on your couch and you watch TV or you sit on your phone and you just, you know, scroll through whatever on your phone. And think about that. Life is short. Time is short. And And who are you loving other than yourself in those moments? You know, like that's like a really powerful thought. Hey, if you're listening today, we sincerely appreciate it. We are live right now on YouTube Live and Facebook Live. You can join in the conversation by sending in your comments. We are reading them as they come in. Thank you, Aretta, for commenting. The title of our program today is Staying Prepared to Go. We're talking about the mission field. And then thank you, Joni, also for your comment. If you would like to call in, the phone lines are open, toll free 1-800-338-7060. Or the local number here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. So we appreciate you listening and following along. If you catch us live, feel free to call in or send us a comment. I think we'll move right on to the second question as we're just crushing our time right now. Pastor Brian, the next question is, should I go to the mission field if I am not involved in ministry at my home church?
Well, we've kind of answered that.
I think we have, in a way, but to
answer it specifically, sure. And that is that going on the mission field starts today in my local church.
Right.
I mean, really, it starts today in my heart, like Pastor Barry said, right?
Yeah.
That it really is a condition of the heart.
Yeah.
Like, do I care about my neighbors enough, like you said, to pray for them?
Mm-hmm.
Do I care about my family enough to care, to have a plan or look for opportunities that I could share Christ with them.
And, right.
That just stirs a prayer life and a kind of a vision of seeing people saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's we can imagine people saved, you know, I mean, love hopes all things. It believes all things. And some people say that person's hopeless. You know, but love says,
there's a chance.
I can already see this person as saved.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's only a question of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, before the opportunity happens, because I'm not the only one who cares about him, but God is working in that person's life. I mean, my daughter is in Izmir. They're missionaries, they're church planters, you know, which is pretty awesome being a pioneer. It's an amazing mission field, but as a result of there was a girl who came to the recent concert that happened, Christmas concert, which was really amazing. Like hundreds of people, came to listen to a very mediocre Christmas performance.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it was like whipped together, people doing the best they can,
sure,
with very little practice time. People came from Finland, you know, Amika and Bensku was there. Of course, Bensku was there. He's the hero of the story because he can kind of do it all.
He can sing and play whatever instrument, yeah.
And then also his sister came, you know, Johan and Anton were there, and he was the sound guy. So it was an amazing, amazing concert. But a girl came, heard the concert, then contacted Lizzie, and God had already been – she'd already bought a Bible through some – you know, whatever, she wanted to read it. You know, God was already working in her life.
Yeah.
And she called Lizzie, you know, and could we get together? And Lizzie had the joyous opportunity to, like, just pick the apple off the tree.
Yeah,
you know, like,
right.
She, this girl was just ready to be saved.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that when we think about, in the local church... that condition of our heart, that while we sit there, that God has already crucified us with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, and that's what we're talking about. That person that's alive,
right?
That person is doing what Jesus is doing, and what is Jesus doing?
You know?
But he is seeking and saving the lost,
right?
And that includes not only outside the church but inside the church, because you know, people come into church and they're not always found. I mean, they could be believers and they still need to be sought out.
Sure.
You know, they need to be talked to and befriended and all of that. So if we're doing what the Lord's doing, you know, I mean, he is building his church. If you think, well, what's Jesus doing today? You know, well, he's building his church. So if we are his body.
Yeah.
Filled with his spirit, then what are we doing?
Same thing, right? Yeah. So
that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, whenever I read that question, I just think of the question, why? What, like, why would you want to go and do something somewhere else if you don't want to do it where you're at? What would your motivation be? Is it, yeah, you have to like check your heart on that too. What's your motivation for wanting to go somewhere and do something? Is it so that people would recognize you? Is it so that your name would be spoken about? Is it because actually maybe you have like something you hold against certain people at the place that you're at and you want to get away from them? Like, you have to check your heart on all those things.
Sure.
So if we're operating in love, if we're operating in the Spirit, if we're being filled with God's heart and mind from the pulpit, you know, through the body, then this situation isn't even really ever going to arise. Like, you're going to be serving in some capacity, whether it's by, you know, when the pastor says, hey, talk to your neighbor about this, you going over and talking to your neighbor. Like, let's use that as an example. Yeah. If the pastor of the church says, hey, you know, go greet your neighbor or, you know, talk about this, and you don't want to do that, why would you even want to go to the mission field to go talk to people you have no connection to whatsoever?
That
would be an interesting, like, heart check.
Well, I you know, Pastor Matt, I think that that is one of the most difficult challenges, to talk to a complete stranger about something that you could imagine he doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Right. So getting over that wall.
Yes.
I think it really is a great cooperative effort with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And for some people, it's not an easy thing to step over. Even to put the person next to me who's been in the church for 30 years, mm-hmm. for me to get out of my, you know, where I'm at, comfortable with me and Jesus, you know, and to actually say hello to the guy next to me.
Yeah.
You know, some people can do that no problem. They're salesmen by, you know, genetically.
Yeah, kind of their natural
salespeople.
Disposition. Sure.
And other people are like cave dwellers naturally, you know, and you're asking them to like take a leap of faith or to do something like, just ask me to cut my arm off. I'd rather cut my arm off than to say something to the person who's next to me, you know. So I think there's a balance to it. That,
sure. 100%.
That, well, we know there's balance. I'm not saying you're don't get me wrong.
No, not at all.
But I was thinking that, because it says, why do I go to mission field? I'm not involved in ministry.
Question two.
If I'm not involved in the ministry of my home church, and I would say, be led by God. And I love your question. Like, why do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to search your heart out. Why do I want to go? And it could be that there's no good reason but God that I don't know why I want to go, but mm-hmm. I really feel like I would like to go. Then you have things like, is there a team that you want to join?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Is there what is the leader of that team think?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because we've seen people go who are not so involved,
mm-hmm.
and they go on the mission field, and, you know, it's one thing if you're like a preacher, if you have maybe a gift of preaching or teaching, you know, like the Word of God centered gift, and you're in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're like over there, like you're like the 15th person on the list. Like everybody's got to die and go to heaven.
Right.
And then they would say, oh, hey, you want to?
Oh, he's around.
Like desperate. You know, would you say something?
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that same person, mm-hmm. if you put him in an environment where people are saying, also, we're in an environment here where like 70% of the church graduated from Bible college or something, you know?
Right.
I mean, we're
a large
sitting amongst Bible people, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know more than them, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I'm sharing something, but I know that they know more than I do, you know?
Yeah.
So going on the mission field for somebody, if they, depending on their relationship with the leader, and also what is your home church think about it,
you know?
I mean, Pastor Moore was super supportive of us going,
mm-hmm.
you know, and eventually did support us after we ran out of our 6 months worth of support that we had saved up.
Oh, wow.
He kicked in and kept us there, and we ended up being on the mission field for 14 years.
Wow.
So we left for 6 months, and we were there for 14 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And it just shows you that, you know, the man makes his plans, but the answer of the tongue after mm-hmm. it all happens is from the Lord.
From
you
the
know?
Lord.
It
sure.
didn't happen the way I planned it.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Right?
So you have these elements of, you know, is there a team there? And I really believe that team, that team concept, mm-hmm. you know, that's what really, that's how the church, if you have a nucleus of team members
yeah.
that are doing church already,
yeah.
when you add people to it, they're witnessing,
mm-hmm.
wow, the Lord is here, you know, because there's love and there's mutual submission and all the things that happen on team life.
Yeah.
So if there's a team, what about the team leader?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then what about your local church? And
yeah.
what is your... So whether you're involved in ministry, and it could be you feel like, I don't know, but God is like calling me to go. I just feel like I'd like to go. And
yeah.
and I would say, you know, visits are like amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you
yeah.
could just go visit.
Short-term
like we
missions.
We went for 1 week to France.
Mm-hmm.
And that 1 week primed the pump.
Wow.
You know, and we just said, yeah, let's go. And
yeah.
I don't know if we would have taken the initial just leap, let's just move there without knowing anything, you
mm-hmm.
know? So so there's some steps to take, regardless of what your, you know, what your involvement in the ministry is,
yeah.
you know, like to say, like, you're an amazing missionary here, you'll be an amazing missionary there or something, you know?
Yeah.
I do agree that you know, when you're part of a team in your local church, then you know what team life is like.
Sure.
You know, but really, it's being led by God and having a heart for the lost. And
yeah.
And once you work through the why do I want to go,
mm-hmm.
then who knows? You know, I mean, God's God. You know, he does amazing things with people that you would very much not suspect.
Absolutely.
Would be. Like he's teaching in Bible college. Like what? He's leading an outreach.
Yeah.
Like what? He, you know, like
yeah.
who would have expected that? No, because we also, maybe I don't want to get to, because we want to get to the last question, but but also when you're in your home culture,
yeah.
there's a lot of things that hold, you don't realize how affected you are by your home culture.
Mm-hmm. That's
that,
true.
That,
yeah.
you know, when you go to another culture, you're not affected by any of it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you can't read the sign, I mean, unless you know the language
right.
fluently,
yeah.
you can't read anything. Like none of the propaganda, none of the devil's atmosphere
mm-hmm.
for that people in that country,
mm-hmm.
none of it even touches you. You're
right.
not tempted by it. It is kind of a clear
yeah.
atmosphere
yeah.
for a cross-cultural missionary to go into. It's kind of pure. If we don't bring our culture with us, but we bring we bring Christian culture, you know,
yeah.
through the gospel with us,
right.
then you could be a different person there. You know, they say, well, if you're not a missionary at home, you won't be a missionary abroad. It's not necessarily true.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. I was thinking of the verse 2 Timothy 1:9, where Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's speaking about the power of God, and he says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Maybe you have a really specific call on your life to go somewhere and reach people and speak to the lost and save them. And you're a small fish in a large pond if you're part of a bigger church. And that to me, that's like a really amazing point. If you're in Bible college and you're thinking about the mission field, go take a trip. Go somewhere, find a leader who's going on a summer harvest or a winter harvest and go try it out. Go see what that's like. See if God has a purpose and a calling for you in your own life that you can act on, that you can just jump into. Forget any of the stuff I said about your heart motivation. Like, just go for it, because it's not about what's in our heart. It says in Proverbs 16:9, there are many devices in a man's heart. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Yeah.
Or a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his step. That,
mm-hmm.
That's Proverbs 16:9. Like, just go for it. Just give it a shot. Why not? Like,
yeah.
just
yeah.
see what God has for you there.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so our final question in the last
yeah.
5 minutes here is, how can I keep, how can I keep my heart on fire while I'm in a season of waiting for God to speak to me regarding missions? Pastor Brian.
Okay, I think this is a two-part question.
Okay.
One is, how can I keep my heart on fire?
Yes.
Period. Question
Period.
Mark.
Yes.
I mean, question mark.
Yeah.
How can I keep my heart on fire? And the second is, like, how do I hear from God? I'm waiting to hear from God mm-hmm. about the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, how do I keep my heart on fire? And I think Jude 21 is like the main thing, that we would keep ourselves in the love of God, waiting for the return of our of the Lord, right? So mm-hmm. so there's two things in that. My present tense is I am receiving from God's love for me personally,
mm-hmm.
which just rebounds unto love for others.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's impossible I cannot receive God's love, that it will not come out of me.
Right.
You know, that's what loved people love, just like abused people also tend to abuse, you know, but loved people love, and that's what Jesus is all about. He wants to love us. And, and I believe that's why he left our sinfulness
mm-hmm.
intact in our flesh while we are believers, because the issue is love.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. You know, you're not perfect. I could make you perfect in a heartbeat, you know.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
Right? I will change you in the twinkling of an eye. But now, you're going to learn what love is.
Yeah.
And don't fake it like you're an awesome guy.
Wow.
You're not an awesome guy. You need to be loved.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that you're not an awesome guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I left you in the condition you are in.
Wow.
So that you can learn to get up. You can learn that I'm not disappointed. I'm not ashamed to be called your brother.
Mm-hmm.
I am waiting to be gracious to you.
Amen.
You know? Yes. So that's the first part.
Yeah.
And staying in his love and knowing how to stay in his love. And
mm-hmm.
the second part is hearing from God. And I think that maybe, I don't know, check this out, but because we have 3 minutes, but I think maybe God is waiting to hear from you.
Yes. 100%.
Like, you know, I think one of the wisdom in decision making is setting your default.
Okay.
You know, like you had to set your default. Like, what happens if nothing happens?
Yeah.
You know, so you could say,
that's a great question.
Lord, I'm going to go to India, or, you know, I mean, I talked to the, you know, the, taking into account our second question.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm going to go unless you say I shouldn't go. I just believe that you know, my heart would like to be there. I'm just going to go. And Lord, you stop me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could set your default like that rather than I'm going to sit
and wait
until you tell me to
tell
go.
Me. Yeah.
You know,
that's a good
when
point.
When he would say, well, you're a mature person. You like Jonathan stood up and said, let's go. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. The Lord can save with a few or many, but we're going.
Awesome.
And let's see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So that also, you know, maybe. Of course, I mean, I think that the Holy Spirit prepares us to take opportunities,
mm-hmm.
you know, and only God's perspective can see the opportunities. I think there's opportunities, doors open all around the world that people don't even see as open doors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have the money to go, or, well, I don't speak the language, or, you know, whatever I have debt here. I mean, there's a lot of issues that could hold you back, that all of those doors are not even open to me, when maybe they're, like, completely open.
Yeah.
You know, and you gotta, you know, take the mountain, in a sense.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know. I don't, you know, tomorrow we're going to have an empty church because
everyone's gone. Oh, man. Well, God didn't tell me no, so I went. All right. Well,
I set my default.
That was cool. Yeah. That, I mean, to me, that's a great approach to the question, because you're just changing your mindset on what it is, what it looks like. Are you sitting, waiting patiently, quietly for God? I've heard Pastor Ronaldo preach before. He said, are you waiting for God, or are you waiting with God? Like, are you actively speaking to, praying about, or even just, you know, reading your Bible, taking it in, taking a Bible college class, doing something to help cement you and ground you in the Word, so that, you know, if the calling does come, you're ready to go. But I like the mindset switch, because you can just say, all right, Lord, you're preparing me. I'm doing this by faith. It's like Abraham getting ready to take his son, go up on the mountain and sacrifice him. It's like, this is what God told me to do. I'm just going to go for it, and God's going to provide me something. God's going to provide the ram, he says to his son. God will provide the sacrifice. And then we find out later in Hebrews that he was like fully prepared to sacrifice his son too, which is crazy. But like,
because of resurrection.
But God stopped him.
Yeah.
God spoke to him and said, all right, you know, here we go. Let's do this. Look over there. There's a ram in the thicket. Here's your provision.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This is a great topic. There's probably a ton more we can say about it. Thank you again for anyone who's been following along listening. Elizabeth commented in at the end, keeping my eyes focused on Jesus, I want to pray, meditate on his word. I want to tell people about him. I want to take steps of faith and do my bus ministry that God led me to do.
That's amazing.
That bus is amazing.
Ministry, I love that.
Yeah, bus ministry was like a big part of
I did that all through Bible college.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, staying prepared to go. You know, be submitted to the word of God, be submitted to your local assembly, be sent out if you can be, be sent out if you can be. And if you are in a place that doesn't have a missions mindset at all, I love what you said at the very beginning, you know, consider either starting that missions mindset for that church or finding a church that has it.
Yeah, because time's short.
Time is short.
Life is short.
Life is short.
Yeah.
And what was the last one?
And love.
And we're learning love.
Yeah, we're learning love.
We're learning love the whole way. So thank you, Pastor Brian Lange, for joining us today.
Yeah, privilege to be here.
It has been honor to question you a little bit, interview you. Thank you, everyone, for following along today. We appreciate you. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join in as we continue the week on missions. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.